The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, is brought to you by, well, of course, you. If you want to learn more about how you can support the show, go to patreon.com/thearena_podcast.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. This is episode 64. I'm your host, Expat, along with my co-hosts, Burly of Burlyman Gaming on Twitch and Turnbase Carl. Burly, how you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. The night prior didn't have any sleep at all, so last night got a bunch of sleep. So feeling refreshed, energetic, and I shouldn't fall asleep.
Awesome. Awesome. And Carl, how was your Thanksgiving, man?
Oh, actually, we didn't really do anything this Thursday. We did some early with my wife's family.
Okay.
Or last week. So, but that was nice. I enjoyed that.
Cool. Yeah, it's like out here in Japan, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So everything's all about New Year's out here in Japan. So, you know, Christmas is coming up with all the decorations out now. You know, but New Year's the week after. That's the big holiday here in Japan. So, okay. Yeah,
My neighbors got their Christmas stuff going up already.
Already. Yeah. Already. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. My family, usually we would put up our Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like on Black Friday, like after we did some shopping or whatever. So then put it up. So spray it with flock. We used to use the imitation tree. We had a big imitation tree that we would take apart and put up in the attic, you know, and store it for the year and then bring it back down after Thanksgiving and then spray it with flock in the garage and then let it dry for a couple hours and then bring it in into the entrance hall and then decorate it in the evening. So it's good stuff.
I saw across the street, the Home Depot's got their, tent set up where they sell all the trees out in the parking lot there.
The trees that Burly chopped down, right?
Yes.
I can't confirm nor deny.
Imported. They're imported from Canada. They're very good trees.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about the Golden Joystick Awards. They came out this last week, and so we're going to be discussing them. We're going to be discussing some other executives at other game development studios that are leaving. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about the new game releases for the week of November 29th through December 5th, as well as Xbox Games with Gold and PS Plus for December. We're going to be talking about those as well. And our topic of the show, physical media or digital media? Which medium do you prefer? We'll be talking about that as well. But first, before we talk about the games that we've been playing this past week, here's a quick brief word about where you can find the podcast.
Before the crew discuss what they have been playing, this episode of The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, and The Post Show will be going to Patreon in early access for one day after recording. So if you would like to support the show and become a patron at the entry tier 1 level at $1 per month and get early access to every episode and post show, as well as listen ad-free, please visit patreon.com/thearena_podcast for further details. Weekly on Sundays, the podcast will be uploaded to all free podcast services. Weekly on Wednesdays for The Post Show, where you can find us on any podcast app for iOS or Android, Spotify, Amazon Music, and on Expat's YouTube channels, Expat YouTube Gaming, and The Arena Citadel. Just download your favorite podcast app or open Spotify and search for The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast. Subscribe, follow us, post a review, and leave us questions, comments, and feedback if you like, if that feature is available there, and spread the word about the podcast. We also have a Discord called The Arena Podcast, where you can join and chat with The Arena Podcast community, and the podcast website is at thearenapodcast.podbean.com, where you can follow us and leave questions and comments as well. Finally, you can also follow us on Twitter at The Arena, A-M-P-G-N-P, as well as on Instagram at The Arena _podcast. Now, back to the show.
Okay, guys. Yeah, this week was really busy for me. I didn't get a chance to play many games at all. I did play some more of the Assassin's Creed Valhalla Discovery Tour. That's my kind of go-to game. And I did play a little bit more of the Avengers Kamala Khan story. But that's about it. I wanted to play some Mortal Shell because it's on Game Pass now, but I'm probably going to wait till next week for that. Or probably if I can get a chance to play some tomorrow, I will. But yeah, that's all for me. How about you, Carl? What have you been playing this past week?
I did not play State of Decay 2. So
okay.
We got a chip for that, right? Is that how it works?
Yep.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we'll been get one you of those your chip.
I did play some Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Okay.
And I also started Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's your take on Guardians?
Guardians so is yeah. is awesome. I love it. I'm probably like a couple hours into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like my first like session was like 40 minutes. I'm like, that game's awesome. I love this game. Like this is, I don't understand why people haven't really described it the way I see it, as it's probably more akin to something like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Not in terms of like actual like moment, like the combat is different, right? That's completely different. But like as far as like game structure, right? Like it's mostly linear. That game has some choice. So far, this game doesn't really have any choice of like where to go. I don't know if it ever does. Burly, does it ever?
Yeah, Burly.
It does.
You're the expert on choices. This.
It does have
there's
some
like story choices, right?
Yeah, there's like story, but like when you're in certain parts, you're left to your own devices to explore, and you have the options. Do I go down here, explore down this way, or do I just go here and explore this way instead? Because you're killing time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. So I'm enjoying pretty much every aspect of that game. I mean, the visuals are great. I know, like resolution wise, I can definitely see that it's not 4K or even getting close to it. Which is weird, but it's whatever. It's not a big deal because like what you're seeing, the graphics, the art design is amazing. Fantastic. Mm. The characters are really well done. They're all like great interpretations of the, you know, like James Gunn, Marvel, MCU versions of those characters. Yeah. Voice acting is really good with, I mean, I feel like Peter Quill is not the best. He's fine, but I like most of them for sure. And like gameplay, I think it's fun. I like it. You know, it's different. It's got its unique aspects to it, which I think is good about it. You can't really say it's like any other specific game. Like you're mostly shooting with Peter, but you know he's got like a double jump and he can hover and shoot at the same time, which I like. And he's got a dodged move, and then he's got all these other upgraded special attacks. And then of course the main mechanic of the game is you using the other guardians as sort of like abilities that you have, right? You can call them in. They're all fighting in the battle. You can have them activate all kinds of special abilities, and it's just fun. As you start like. I don't know. Some people have said like some of it's been challenging. So far it hasn't challenged me at all. I mean, if you're active on using all of your guardians' abilities whenever they, you know, go off their cooldowns, like you're gonna crush things. So and then you get that combo meter up, and then you get the huddle thing happening, and then everybody gets like boosted if you get that going, and you just crush everyone. So it just looks great. It's great animations. It's a really really good game.
Now, Carl, would you consider this a Game of the Year candidate?
I had to play more of it. I mean, I think it maybe. I think there's the potential there. I don't really think there's anything wrong with it so far. You know, I mean, it's a bit linear, you know, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's bad. And the story is really interesting to you know, go through. I don't really care that, like, I'm not making the choice of where to go. The environments are nice. I want to actively like search the environment and find all the little secrets and use, you know, your guardians, you get to use them outside of combat to do fun, you know, to like traverse environmental things, you know, which is nice too. I like that.
Cool.
And then Halo Infinite multiplayer. I'm sorry. I played some of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's super fun. You know, the reason I guess I'm going to do this is because they had their like event going on right now. One of the special events with the samurai armor stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, okay, I want to try to earn some samurai armor, you know. Yeah. But yeah, this battle pass and the way these challenge experience thing goes, I mean, it's annoying. I don't like it. It's dumb free to play mechanic stuff.
Well, I also heard that some people were actually quitting the game because of the cosmetic items and how much they cost. And they were just really upset at that. I don't know how many people are actually quitting or, you know, how much these cosmetic items cost, but I don't know.
It's comparable to any other free-to-play game. Like, okay. There's really no difference there from what I saw. Mm-hmm. But the thing that bothers me the most about it is that, this is probably true of like any game with the Battle Pass, is that if you don't have the Battle Pass, you're leveling up, but you get nothing. Right, like you level up, and it's like you got this item. If you have the battle pass, it's unlocked. If you don't, nothing happens. Yeah. I'm like, well, what's? It's like I've got a couple levels. Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm like it's only like level 3, which isn't very much, but like I got like one thing. I mean, I don't even remember what it was. Maybe like a visor color or something stupid. You know, like, that bugs me a lot. Like I feel like I'm not going to play it enough to earn anything, and that's annoying. And then that de-incentivized me to keep playing a lot more because, like, I do want to earn and I want to customize my Spartan, you know. So.
Yeah. Okay, Burly, what have you been playing, man?
It's obvious for me. I've been playing Pokemon Shining Pearl.
Yeah.
I powered through the game on stream because I was off. It was just a blast for someone that did not like Gen 4 when it came out playing this remake. It was a lot of fun. And I put a little bit of time back into Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still only in like chapter 4. So I'm slowly getting through it.
Wow. Yeah. You're slowly getting through it. Yeah. So I see. All right.
Did you grab Lost Judgment on the Black Friday price?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
of course, yeah. All right, awesome.
Yeah, no, I had to. It was like because it's regular 79 here in Canada, so with the tax 90, went down to 39. It's like
nice.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So,
and weren't you saying, Burly? Weren't you saying that it's even more? It's cheaper than the original Judgment, right? Judgment's more expensive.
It was. They just now, as of yesterday, discounted the regular Judgment down to 29.
Okay,
I paid more. I paid more to get Judgment. That's the sad part. I paid more for Judgment than I did Lost Judgment.
Yeah,
and Lost Judgment came out 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So,
yeah, I wanted to say with Guardians, right? I got it for $30 on Amazon. And it's the first physical game that I got for like Series X.
Okay.
It's like, but it's not a Series X game. It's an Xbox One game. That's what's on the disc for sure. Because you put that thing in and it's like, yeah, download an update. I'm like, okay, let's see what it is. And I go and I'm looking at the stats and it's like from the disc, it installed 577 megabytes. And from online, 43 gigs. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like,
yeah.
I know this is going to stop, obviously, because once games are like Series X only, they'll have the actual Series X code on there. Man, right. that was like, this is so silly.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into the weekly news beat. So this week, we got the results of the Golden Joystick Awards. And of course, the Golden Joystick Awards originally was, it was more of a British awards ceremony. For example, people in Britain from the general public would vote for the winners of each category. But now, with the Golden Joystick Awards, anybody can vote online. So it's basically an international online voting style, which, as we were talking about last week with the the Game Awards, we're hoping that it comes to that type of format in the future. But and this year they had two specific categories to commemorate the 50 years of gaming. So best gaming hardware of all time and ultimate game of all time. We're gonna read those. This is from Games Radar, of course, because Games Radar was the sponsor of the event for the ceremony. But anyway, let's go ahead and go through these. Carl and Burley, I want to get your reactions to these. So I'll start from the beginning here. Best storytelling, Life is Strange, True Colors. What'd you think of that? Of course, I played True Colors and it was an amazing game and it was a great story. But what'd you guys think of that one winning? Burley, what about you first? Life is Strange, True Colors.
It doesn't kind of surprise me because I have played the previous, I think it was the first two Life is Strange games I played, and they do unique stuff with the storytelling methods. So if they're continuing on that tradition with the latest one, I can understand that way.
Okay. Carl?
Yeah, I haven't played any of those games, but that seems like a respectable choice.
Yep. Best multiplayer game, It Takes Two. What do you think of that one? I think that was, we talked about this before. It's like, define multiplayer in this sense. I mean, it's more of a co-op game, but then again, what do you think, Carl?
Yeah, it's, I hear great things. It looks like it's really fun, as far as like the cooperative play sounds like it's really worthwhile. So, I do understand it. It does feel like multiplayer. This is the same thing for the Game Awards, right? Like it's nominated there as well. And I'm like, I'm not sure. I think of that as a multiplayer, but hey, maybe if you look at it's winning this award, maybe that means it could win Game Awards one as well.
Yeah. Burley, what'd you think?
It made sense for it to win in here. Like everything I've seen of this game, of people playing it and how it works. Makes sense. I still need to try it.
Okay. Best audio, Resident Evil Village. Now, Burley, I know you played a little bit of Resident Evil Village, right? You played Village. What did you think of the audio?
The audio was fine. It wasn't anything that stood out to me that was like, this is better than Deathloop or any other game this year. So I don't, this seems more like we want to give something to Resident Evil 8, but we can't give it Game of the Year. So we'll give it audio kind of to me, but like, I honestly,
does it have me yet?
Audio of the games, it would be like Guardians for at least the soundtrack or other.
The sound effects are great. All the voice acting in that, who none of which are nominated for anything, but they all come together as a team really well.
Yeah.
Who are the nominees, I wonder, for that? Whatever.
Best visual design went to Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart. So, Burley, what'd you think of that award? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've played it. Played it. I think it deserves it. Yeah, visual design.
Yeah, as we've all, and everyone quotes it, it is a Pixar film as game.
Yes,
definitely. Especially those cutscenes. All those just look breathtaking. It's like,
definitely. So, Carl, do you have any comment on that? I know you haven't played it yet, but
no, I'm. I would say that I think that maybe Psychonauts 2 should have won that one. But all right.
Okay.
That Ratchet & Clank doesn't look amazing, but like, if we're talking visual, what was it? Visual style or
visual design?
Visual design. Yeah. I think that's just a Ratchet & Clank game, right? Like we've seen that before. Okay. Psychonauts 2. I mean, we've never seen it look this good. It was like an old Xbox One game. So original Xbox.
Okay, next up, best game expansion. And Burley, I think you're going to agree with this. Ghost of Tsushima, Iki Island expansion.
Oh, that expansion sucked. Ghost is horrible. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No,
what?
I was just waiting for Expa to react.
What?
No, I loved Iki Island. That was like, I don't buy a lot of expansions, but like for that game, it was, as soon as they announced it, I was buying it, but I had a blast going through Iki Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Carl, did you play Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, I did.
On your PS4?
I did. I never finished it, but it was, I don't know. I wasn't compelled, but I did enjoy it, and it's definitely good. Oh, okay. I was trying to find like the list of nominees. I'm like, I don't know, like, who are they snubbing on some of these? You know? Right.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, expansion, like, I'm not going to really argue that. I'm just curious to see who else they got in there. Okay. Outer Worlds in there. Final Fantasy VII Remake. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's State of Decay 2? God damn. No, obviously, you wouldn't. Not really an expansion so much, but.
All right. So, next up, mobile game of the year, League of Legends Wild Rift. So, I want to tell you, Carl, I finished watching Arcane, and I'm completely with you, man. It's probably one of the best anime series I've ever seen. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's not anime. Don't call it anime. That's an insult.
It's anime, man.
It's not anime. Not made by a Japanese studio. It's not even a Japanese anime. Game. It's got nothing to do with Japan. We'll agree
to disagree, okay? So anyway, League of Legends Wild Rift. Yeah. It's on mobile. I've never played it on mobile or anything. I'm not into mobile gaming, but I'm sure there are some people that listen to us or view us that are into mobile gaming and probably think this was the best of the year. So
I've seen a lot of people talk about that, like on Twitter and stuff, as being really good. And it's basically a simplified version of League of Legends. So you can play it on mobile, which is, that's awesome, because League of Legends is a cool game. It's just, it's one of those games. It's like an RTS where like you really can't play it without mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
So to make it more simplified and work that makes sense why it's such a good game.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they didn't go for the obvious answer for mobile game of the year, Forza Horizon 5 through the game xCloud streaming app.
Yeah.
One day those will get nominated right now. Be weird.
Or, like best cloud game or something like that. Yeah. Okay, next up, best gaming hardware, PS5.
Boo, boo, boo. What are the other choices? I'm going to find out.
You knock it. I love my Series S, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
Hardware is such a fickle thing for we all knew kind of Sony'd win it because they're more biased with Sony. I'm a huge Sony fan, don't get me wrong, but they are more biased with Sony.
That's one of those where it's like why I mean PS5, it makes sense because it's more popular, but like, is the Series X better piece of hardware, better designed hardware? Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't think
it has more power.
You really couldn't argue.
Series X has more power in some areas. I think it's just more they're putting PS5, not just because of bias, but PS5 has more of its exclusives.
Well, the SSD in the PS5 is a little faster from what the specs.
Spec wise, significant. Performance wise, not that different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as loading times. Guess what? Yeah. The hilarious thing that's on the nominees there. Uh-huh. The Western Digital Black SN850 NVMe SSD.
Fucking
hell. I'm surprised that got snubbed. That's just, how dare they?
All right. Okay, let's move on, guys. Best indie game was Death's Door.
Okay.
So I can agree with that one. Yeah, it was a really good indie game, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, from what everybody said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Wait, did it lose to no, Kena wasn't even nominated. That's not an indie game? Okay.
Should be classified next up. As... How do you say it?
Yeah, you'd think. It's not even there. All right.
Okay. Next up, Studio of the Year, Capcom. Burley.
Oh, boy. Why Capcom?
Capcom!
Besides RE8 that they put out, what else did they really put out this year?
Monster Hunter Rise.
Okay. Right? Yeah. But it's like, I can't see them after just not even you take out my issues aside with them, with glitches and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I think there are other studios that put out better stuff this year. Like,
well, if you want to know the nominees,
the people that the Ember Labs that put out Kena beats them easy, in my opinion, because they put out a game that worked. I had no problems with Kena.
Neither
it's,
did I.
It's interesting. The list is weird because it's basically everything is like one game, right? Like IO Interactive, Arcane, Housemarque, Double Fine.
Yeah.
All those just have one good game, you know, for the year. And then I have no idea what Draknik and Friends. What the hell is that? Draknik and Friends.
It's Draknik and his homies. What?
Like that's a studio? Like, what did they put out? Like, why? How? Anyway.
Okay, let's get back to the winners. Let's see. Best performer, Maggie Robertson for Lady Dimitrescu in Resident Evil Village.
Really?
Oh, man. She did a good right. job, but the internet overhyped her because they showed her off really early on before RE8 came out. And they really pumped her. But if you play the game, she's maybe in the game 2 hours. She's in there in the intro when you get there, and then her section. She doesn't last very long.
Okay. Let's move on to Breakthrough Award. Now, this one, I kind of question. The winner was Housemarque. But Breakthrough for what? Not making a twin stick shooter, you know.
I'm trying to find the nominees for that. Yeah, like what is this category? Yeah,
breaking the mold changing
what you usually do to what you normally do.
I would have given Breakthrough Award to Kena, Burley,
Ember Labs,
the studio that made Kena.
I agree.
Ember Labs, yeah.
But it's not even on this list. I don't even understand. Whatever.
Yeah. Best game community, Final Fantasy 14. And also a Still Playing Award went to Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sense that game's going to win a lot of awards for those categories all over the place.
All the PC game of the year. MMOs.
Yeah. PC game of the year, Hitman 3.
Really?
I don't why Hitman? I don't know, but all right, sure.
I don't know.
Did the Hitman 3 port on PC like give you extra content, or was it just like it had no issues? Like nothing against Hitman 3, don't get me wrong, but it's just like out of all the games that came to PC, I know other games that came that were in really good shape from other games we got this year, and it's like I just don't see why Hitman 3 stands out.
Yeah,
the nominee list is a strange bunch, so
okay. And the next two actually are probably the biggest no-brainers out of this whole list to me. I think Nintendo game of the year was Metroid Dread, so go figure, right? Xbox game of the year, Psychonauts 2. So, I mean, I completely agree with those, for sure.
Hey, this is where Lost Judgment was a nominee.
Not on this list, though, Carl.
It was.
Not in the gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it is.
I mean, this game?
It's not an Xbox game. Come on.
I know.
Yeah. PlayStation game of the year. Here you go, Burley. Resident Evil Village.
Are you serious? Wait, yeah. That's not a joke.
Okay.
Yeah. PlayStation game of the year. RE8, man.
Wow. I will keep this rant short. RE8 did not get really any extra content for being on PlayStation. Okay, so out of all the big PlayStation exclusives that came only on PS5 or other or PS4 or PS5 this year, you had Kena, great exclusive.
Yeah.
You had Ratchet and Clank.
Great. Exclusive. Yeah.
You want to give me even count Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut? Sure.
Yeah.
But like, seriously, Returnal, like Deathloop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, what is it with the internet and REA? Because everyone got obsessed with that big tall lady and they had to make so much crap from her.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that game is standing very high on the memification of Lady D, let's call her. I don't know how you say that name properly.
Yeah.
Demetris Q.
We'll go with that, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Next up. Most wanted game, Elden Ring. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I know why it's winning, but yeah. I don't know. That crowd, that audience is so vocal and so sensitive. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say this now. You know, I said this at the beginning when I was, you know, talking about the people that actually vote. Now it's online, so anybody can vote, right? But I would probably say that the majority of voters, they're saying like millions of people voted. I'm still going to say the highest percentage of people voting on the internet were probably in the UK.
I don't know.
Because they're into the Souls games. They're into the horror games. They're into, you know, like Elden Ring coming out. So, I don't know. That's just, you know,
something. I mean, that's beating out. Like, just
because George R. R. Martin's writing, they're into it for the incest. I mean, deep story.
Yeah. See, yeah, that was actually a misconception I got from like them saying he's involved, and then you see the game. I actually saw the gameplay, and I'm like, it's just another Souls game, right? Like, it's not really that. It's like an evolution. It's got open world. It's got the horse thing, but ultimately, it looks and plays pretty much like the other games.
Yeah, I mean, George R. R. Martin. He even said that. I mean, it was years ago when kind of, you know, wrote the, you know, the, or did the world building for these guys, you know, and then just gave it to them, and then they took off with it, you know, and then of course it's From Software, so of course it's going to be a Souls type of game. So.
Yeah, I mean, it gave me the expectation that they would have stronger characters and plot in the game, but I didn't see any of that yet anywhere for this game. So
whatever. All right, let's continue. Because you guys are going to love the last few here. Critics' Choice Award, Deathloop. Burley?
Huh.
I think.
Deathloop.
I can understand why this won Critics' Choice. Critics loved the. If you remember when this game was coming out, critics were giving this like high eights, high nines around the freaking board. It is a great game. Don't get me wrong. I had a blast with Deathloop and I am actually working on going back to it and getting the platinum trophy on it. I had a blast with the game.
Yep.
So I understand there are mechanics in there that are great and refreshing that I can understand why critics would love it.
Okay. Okay. Here you go, guys. Ultimate game of the year. Here we are. Oh, God. Resident Evil Village again. Ultimate game of the year, REA. I don't know, Carl. What do you think? Do you think this is a precursor for things to come? Do you think Do you think this is going to catapult RE8 to the game of the year at the Game Awards? What do you think?
I certainly hope not.
Me too.
I almost think there's a possibility. I don't know how this is winning here. Maybe there's the idea that like the vote is going to get split a lot, and it could almost go to anyone at that point, because you just don't know, like it'll be so close that one game just somehow you don't expect wins it.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Yeah. It bothers me so much to give RE8 an award like that, just because I don't want first person Resident Evil games. Like when you do that, it's like you're stabbing me. Because you know that means that like they're like, all right, we did something good here, we're gonna keep doing this.
Whatever.
Franchise will be dead to me, you know.
Burly.
Out of all the things you could have picked, RE8 for Ultimate Game of the Year, Psychonauts 2, the little I've played of Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah.
Runs better and plays better than RE Village. Nothing against the game. That game is not top tier. It is a good game. It has problems, but it is not your game of the year. Like Deathloop, Kena, Ratchet and Clank, Psychonauts 2, Horizon, so many other games. It Takes Two destroys that game. Two.
Yeah.
Metroid Dread, right?
Metroid Dread. Even though Pokemon is a remake, they do enough new stuff and fix some stuff in there that I can easily consider that better than RE Village.
Okay. Now, this is the biggest, like, no duh moment here. Ultimate hardware of all time, PC.
Well,
that's... Okay.
That's just a cop out. Because you can't say PC, because everyone's rig is so different. Like, if they wanted to say, ultimate piece of hardware, you go the top-of-the-line graphics card or the top-of-the-line CPU, fine.
Yeah.
This is just a cop-out, because you can... I'll top hardware PC. Okay, my little old Dell laptop that I'm using here, it's top-of-the-line, better than my Series S, better than my PS5, and I could tell you it's not.
It's a pretty silly award, but I guess if you think of it as like through the generations, right? Like PC,
obviously.
Oh yeah, over the it's always got the biggest library, right? And can be the most powerful. So I get it. Whatever. There's no point to even do this award, but all right.
Yeah, exactly. So, and finally, the ultimate game of all time went to Dark Souls.
Why? It's just why.
Why? Because it's a Souls game, I guess.
Are those games really that popular? I know they are popular.
Yeah,
like that. Trust me,
they are to a certain type of people. Yeah,
trust me,
a certain type of gamer.
Yeah. Very vocal audience, right? Okay. But I don't know that. Like overall, there's games that are far more popular. I mean, we know that.
Yeah,
this game. I don't know. I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I just don't.
They are very, as you said, they are very vocal fan base. I say they're more vocal than any other, to be completely honest with you. And there is a huge amount of people, as being a Twitch streamer and interacting with people. You have, like, when I did those, whenever I did a Demon Soul stream, I always had tons of people.
Yeah, like and new people no matter, jumping in. These people are just like people. Obsessed.
Oh yeah, no. People are like, how many deaths are like? I had people pretty much betting.
Yeah.
Is it going to be 10 deaths on stream? Oh my god! Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I can attest to that. I mean, being a streamer, also. I mean, just going into particular games and looking at the numbers of people watching those games, or they're usually higher than average of other games, other types of games, for sure. So, okay, like, I want to throw this
game of the year. Why are you having that award? Come on, this is silly thing.
It's ultimate game of all time.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Of all time. So, what next year? What's going to be the ultimate game of all time? Dark Souls again? Were you just gonna give it to it every year? Like,
no, I think they're only doing this once because like 50, it's like they're commemorating 50 years of gaming. So
I see.
It's like once. Yeah.
Like I could understand
that. The game. No, yeah. Get out of here.
I can get doing one for like one for each decade. I mean, like one game of the decade for 10 years.
Ultimate game of the decade.
But like this Dark Souls, I've got nothing against them, but it's just like, I can't see, there are so many better designed games that play better.
Yeah.
I can't see Dark Souls. This is, like you said, just because of a very vocal fan base. And
Right. I think so we know.
That or they're catering. Because I don't know. They could say it's like the your fan votes matters, but it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame where they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, if it was purely a fan voted thing, then that's probably why, you know.
Right. So, yeah, like I was saying, Carl, or I was asking you about, is this a precursor to how the Game Awards is going to go? Probably not, because, you know, it's not voted on by the people. It's voted on by the journalists. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, like, are any of these indicators? Yeah. Maybe some of them. Like, RE Village, strong showing could mean that it might do better than I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Deathloop winning the critics' choice may mean something, right? Because it's a critics' vote for the most part, the Game Awards.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw this one at you guys because the very first Golden Joystick Awards was in 1983. So a little question for you guys. I'll throw it out there, see if you can answer it. And maybe Burley, you might know. I don't know. Carl, you might know. But this is going back to the retro age of 1983. What was the 1983 Game of the Year at the Golden Joysticks first annual event?
Pac-Man?
Not Pac-Man, no.
Is that even I mean, it's that old, maybe?
Oh, no, Pac-Man, Pac-Man came out. I was going
to
say
Pac-Man. I have to tell you guys, though, this... At this time, of course, when the first awards show came out, it was only the British public that voted. Okay.
Is that a hint? So, Missile Command. No.
No.
I'm going to go with Pitfall.
Okay. Pitfall. Let me read you the other nominees that did not win.
Nominees. Here we go.
The nominees, besides the game that won, of course, was Arcadia, Manic Miner, The Hobbit.
What are these? Never. I don't even know.
These are all like DOS games. It's sounding like.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. I'll give you one more hint. The name of the game starts with the letter J.
Jumpman.
You're getting close. That's close.
Wait, is it Joust?
No, not Joust. No.
Damn.
Starts with J, close to Jumpman.
I'm trying to think of any really old. I don't got it.
Imagine. Okay, I'll give you a hint based on the cover of the game. Okay, imagine an astronaut with something on his back.
Jetpack.
That's right. Yes, jetpack. Yes.
Okay.
1983 jetpack. Game of the Year, Jetpack. Yes.
Yeah. I played Jetpack in Donkey Kong 64.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, oh yeah.
It's in there. It's one of the mini games in there.
Yeah. Jetpack. Yeah. 1983. And then of course, going to last year's awards show. So 2020. Awards. Ultimate Game of the Year was, of course, The Last of Us Part Two. So, that was my Game of the Year. Of course, I picked Last of Us. Yeah, I even picked it over Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us Part Two. Yeah.
So. As everyone should, right, Burley?
No.
No, Burley's game on the podcast last year was Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and move on. So now let's go on to some news about the creative director at BioWare leaving. So Dragon Age 4's creative director has left BioWare. So this is from Jared Moore over at IGN. I'm going to read some of this for you. So the senior creative director on Dragon Age 4, Matt Goldman, has left BioWare. He had been senior creative director on Dragon Age since 2017. As reported by Kotaku, Goldman's departure from BioWare was announced in a recent staff email written by studio general manager Gary McKay. In the email, McKay explains that the creative director has agreed to leave the developer after the two parties, quote, mutually agreed to part ways, end quote. So, quote, I'm writing to inform you all that Matt Goldman is leaving BioWare, said McKay in the email. Quote, we have mutually agreed to part ways, and his last day is today. That was of this past week when this article came out. So, quote, we understand that Matt's departure has an impact on you as well as the game's development, end quote. The email continued, quote, rest assured, our commitment to a high quality Dragon Age game has not wavered, and we will not ship a game that is not up to BioWare's standards, end quote. Well, that's what they say. I'm sure most gamers will have another type of feeling about that when the game comes out. EA have since confirmed to Kotaku that Goldman has departed the company, and it goes on. Goldman originally started work at the studio in 1998 when he worked as an artist on a number of BioWare games, including Baldur's Gate and previous entries into the Dragon Age series. Following a spell working on Halo Wars at Microsoft's Ensemble Studios, Goldman returned to BioWare and in 2017 was appointed the role of senior creative director on Dragon Age 4. So, yeah, another creative director leaving. So what do you guys think? How is this going to affect the development and the obvious release, whenever that is, of Dragon Age 4. Burley, what do you think, man?
This is pushing it back at least another 6 months to a year. let's be honest. This isn't like some lower position. This is the creative director. And we know that this game is going to be a long time before it comes out. This is just setting back stuff. But this is not a good trend for BioWare. They keep losing more and more people that have been there for a while and good people. So, and them saying in their release that it's between him and the studio. So, curious. I'd love to see what was said. What's the difference between that him and the studio? But we'll unfortunately never know that stuff.
But yeah, that probably will never become public.
Them saying, well, we want to release it when it's ready, when we feel it's ready. You guys released Anthem when that was not clearly ready, and that was a garbage fire disaster. Wait.
And Mass Effect Andromeda as well was not ready when they released it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, I have no trust in BioWare anymore. It's, this is when they say the game's coming out. 6 months to a year later, I'll check it out. Because A, the price drop, and B, maybe some of what we were promised will be there.
Yeah, it's never a good look when you got to email your staff and say, hey, you're this high up guy who's your boss, like, he's gone, like, today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to disrupt a lot, for sure. This game is, like, has been... You know, when they first teased this game, how many years ago now?
Two, I think. Yeah.
And then I think it's
like,
longer.
It's almost like 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, it was either 2 or 3 years ago that they just came up with the actual name of the game on a screen, and that's all they showed. And then last year or the year before, they just showed, some, cinematic trailer. No gameplay.
Great. Yeah. I'm like, thanks a lot. Is this game happening? And then there was that story a while back that they had to revamp a lot of it. Like it was going to have all these multiplayer things to it. Yeah. And then they seem to be canning that and going back to like straight single player,
yeah.
Which after Anthem, they're like, yes, this is what we should definitely do.
Yeah.
But man, how do you strip all of that out of your game if you've been building it for so long? I don't know. So like, yeah, that's why I don't expect this game. I would not. It would be crazy to think that like the next Mass Effect somehow like jumps ahead of this game. I don't know if that's possible, but it feels like it.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, speaking of departures for staff, the Xbox boss discussed high-level staff departures, particularly with Halo Infinite. And of course, Halo Infinite has now gone gold. And it's of course, it's going to be coming out on December 8th, and we're all looking forward to that. But this is from Eddie McCooch over at GameSpot. So Xbox Game Studios boss Matt Booty has commented on the many changes to senior leaders on Halo Infinite's development team, saying turnover is natural in a field like game development. He also suggested that some of the developers who left the team might have had a vision for Halo Infinite that ran counter to what others wanted. Speaking to the New York Times, Booty discussed the departures of creative director Tim Longo and executive producer Mary Olson, as well as former studio head for FPS Chris Lee. So, quote, there's always going to be a turnover of leaders. It's inevitable, end quote, Booty said. He added that sometimes, quote, the momentum of the project is going one way and the person that has a vision that's going the other way, end quote. Booty's comment is intriguing to think about, but it doesn't include any specifics about a different direction for Halo Infinite that might have been considered during development. GameSpot has followed up with Microsoft in an attempt to get more details on this. But also Phil Spencer talked about this as well. He says that he believes turnover in a creative field like game development is actually a good thing. Quote, he says, quote, I don't have any specific concern about 343. I actually think in the long run, turnover is a healthy thing because we want people who are really motivated by the things that they're working on, end quote. So I want your guys' thoughts on this. How do you feel? Is it a good thing for, turnover in a creative field in game development? What do you think? Carl, I'll start with you on this one. Do you agree with Phil Spencer on that?
I mean, it depends on the situation, right? I mean, Phil is talking about the idyllic sense, right? Like, somebody's worked on a project for a long time or and they want to move on to something bigger or better, right? Mm-hmm. Or something else that they're more passionate about. Yeah. And that's the best way for it to happen. Obviously, what we just talked about with the Dragon Age is the worst case scenario.
Right. That's the flip side. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely some sort of big disagreement with the people above you. And, you have to part ways. So, yeah. I mean, I see what he's saying for sure.
Yeah.
And with Halo Infinite specifically, I mean, it looks like it was good, right? Like, it looks like they finally, got the right person who's manning the ship there, steering in and the multiplayer landed very well. Everyone seems to love that, aside of the progression system, but that will still change, as it goes. And the campaign preview has been very positive so far. So,
Burley, what do you think?
Yeah, it can be a good thing to turn over because if people don't want to be there, it's best they leave and you have people that do want to be there. I get that kind of sense, but that they had disagreements over what it was. Were these the people saying, oh, I don't think we should nickel and dime everyone on live service for multiplayer? Get those fucking people out of here.
That's what we're all about now.
This is your generic corporate speak. Like, it's dressed up nicely, but it can be good, it can be bad. It all depends, on the work culture and stuff there for everything as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have, you know, development leads. They have their own, you know, way of doing things, and their creative, you know, sense of the direction that they want to go in. And you know, I can understand people leaving. I mean, like here in Japan, Nakamura Ikumi was one example. She was working on Ghostwire Tokyo, and she decided that she wanted to go in a completely different direction. Of course, she opened her own studio, but, you know, it was probably because the direction that she wanted to move the project in wasn't what the corporate, you know, desires were in that sense. But with Halo, I mean, Halo is a beast of a game. And I mean, you have people probably with the Coalition actually coming in and helping with that game as well, too. So, you know, so many people working on this project, and, you know, you can, it's probably, you know, a given that there's going to be some kind of turnover with all the people. Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
And the length of the game has been in development for, what, 6 years, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time to be working on any one project. So you can definitely see why some people might leave somewhere. Even after like 2 years, you're like, all right, that's, you know, maybe you want something else in your life.
Right.
That's totally fine. But yeah.
Well, it's all situational. Sometimes musicians, they'll do a different album under a different band or a different name, just go in a different direction. Go that so that way they're not stale and stuck in a certain way. Try something and then somehow then go back and get, let the creative juices flowing and all that now because you did something else.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to remember the name. The guy who's working with, is it Obsidian? Or is it In Exile? We just talked about it. I think we did last week. Who's working on a separate game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I gotta look it up. But was it Josh Sawyer? Maybe. But like he Todd was Howard? The head of like a major project, and he's working. No, not Todd Howard. But he's working on a smaller project now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that like they would like Microsoft would, yeah, he's Obsidian, right? It's Josh Sawyer. Who worked on Fallout New Vegas, Pillars of Eternity, Icewind Dale, Neverwinter Nights, right? And he's working on his own smaller project with Obsidian now. And he works on Outer Worlds as well. So the idea that they would let him work on a smaller project at the same studio sounds awesome. Sounds like even a more ideal way to even do this. Like, all right, you don't want to work on this specific big budget sequel. That's fine. Well, you know, what ideas you got? Okay, well, let's see. And then you pitch an idea, and then they're like, all right, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to our topic of the show. So, Burley, I want to ask you a question. So of all the games you bought for like your Black Friday deals or for the holiday season this year, how many have been physical? How many have been digital?
I've only bought one game during the whole Black Friday sale.
Okay. Been physical. Was it physical? Was it digital? Physical. Wait. Okay.
Physical Lost Judgment right here.
That's digital.
Right.
It looks digital to me. It's on a screen. I can't touch it.
Yeah, this isn't actually a sticker. It's actually just the code. I bought the box.
It's just the code, okay. Yeah. It's a steelbook?
Yeah. I had to buy a steelbook just to satisfy that itch, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and Carl, you bought Guardians of the Galaxy, the physical copy, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, physical versus digital. I mean, it's an ongoing debate. I mean, me personally, I stopped buying physical games back in 2017. The last physical game I bought was Horizon Zero Dawn. It was the last physical copy I bought. Yeah, I mean, I live here in a country where it's, you know, housing is very small. There's not much space. And to have boxes and boxes and cases worth of video games It's not an ideal thing out here in Japan, whereas maybe in other countries that are, you know, more spacious and have bigger housing accommodations, people can, you know, use that space to buy lots of games. But I don't know. I mean, with, you know, the PlayStation now, you have a digital version of the console and you have a physical version, you know, optical version of the console. So, I mean, what do you guys think about physical versus digital moving forward now? I mean, what medium, for example, during this holiday season is going to sell more? More digital or more physical copies? And what's your personal preference for, you know, the medium of choice? I mean, are you more of a physical copy type of gamer, or are you more into digital now? And finally, how much longer do you think physical gaming is going to last? So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Let's start with this holiday season. Do you think it's going to be more physical sales or digital sales?
I think physical, just because it's holidays, right? Like you're buying gifts. You want to give somebody something physical. You're going to wrap it up, right? Put it under a tree or however you're giving out your gifts. So, but I think it'll be very close. And I wouldn't be surprised if digital did overtake it, just because the sheer numbers, like people buying stuff for themselves too, you know, because the sales are so damn good. Although I don't know what the digital sales are. Are they the same or not?
No, they're not actually on PlayStation.
Not, right? Okay.
On PS, yeah. PlayStation, this has this, instead of being 39, it has it for 55, and I have to still pay the 13% tax. So, physical's cheaper.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Burley, what do you think for this holiday season
physical.
The physical medium and the digital medium? Physical sales will be better?
Physical... not just because of the whole sales price difference, like Sony's bad for that this year, but it's also like, I know people that want to gift people that have, that aren't in the same area, but it's easier. Like PlayStation, you can't just easily gift people games. So it's nice to just set, you can go to Amazon and then get it shipped to their address, pay the small charge and have it gift wrapped for you. And be like, here you go. Here's your Christmas gift of Lost Judgment.
Okay.
Resident Evil Village for Burley. Another copy.
There you go.
Enjoy.
You want to burn your money? Fine. go right ahead.
Okay.
Now, what do you think overall, just, when it comes to PlayStation? I'll throw this one to you, Burley, because you and I, we own a PlayStation right now. I mean, when it's all said and done at the end of this generation, is the physical version, the optical drive PS5, going to sell more than the digital version? I think it probably will.
It will, but I don't know how much the difference is, because I do know a few people that were like, if I can't get the physical drive one, I will buy digital. Because I know people,
that's interesting because, I mean, the digital version is $100 cheaper, you know?
Yeah.
So
it is.
But like, I wanted the physical, but for me, like when I was pre-ordering mine, I was like, if I couldn't get the physical, I'm not going to spend the hours and hours trying to get it. It was just, hey, I have the option to get a PS5. I had options for both. I was like, since I have the option for both, I'll get this drive. If don't, I don't.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, because I stopped going physical back in 2017, I just figured I'll sit it out and wait until I can find a digital version of the PS5. And I got lucky one day when I went into Yodobashi and they had a, they had some digital versions, so I picked it up then. So.
You know, if you're looking to save money, I think it may be misleading to save the $100 up front on the digital version. Because like you said, like the physical discs have better sale prices usually. Digital does have really good sales eventually, but I feel like they come later down the line, like even further.
Oh, yeah.
Because the physical is like, it's a physical object the stores want to get rid of, right? So like,
yeah,
they're cutting prices just to get them out the door.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, Amazon and their warehouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's also the used market. So yeah, as far as, I think the people who are looking for to be more on a budget with that system, you should probably want the optical, but you know, digital's getting really popular. It depends on where it goes in the future, right? Because do we see newer hardware revisions and more, you know, focus on the digital version? You know, we'll see.
Let me throw this one at you, Carl, because for the Xbox, when it's all said and done at the end of this generation, which will sell more, the X or the S?
I think it'll still be the X, just because
it's
a huge difference in power, right? And so if you're, I think most people who are really into games, like, going to want that. And if they, I think there's going to be people who are jumping in with an S and just to test the waters, and will eventually be like, I really like this, I'm going to get the X, like if they upgrade at a certain point, right?
They're,
Whereas obviously the opposite's probably not going to happen too much. Maybe if you have an X, right, and you get an S for like the another room, that I could see that.
Yeah.
So, and the value proposition is very different.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I got the X because, you know, I did want the power of the X, but since I have a digital PS5, I wanted the optical drive for the X because, of course, sometimes I play HD Blu-rays.
Yeah.
And watch movies. So,
Well, I was going to say about the value proposition with the S, because Game Pass is such a great service, right? And that's obviously all digital, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that versus PlayStation, right? Like if you're a budget gamer, you can very easily buy the lowest price system, which is $300 in the US, and then sub to Game Pass and basically have a huge library and not have to buy much of anything else. And you can then even wait longer for those great digital sales.
Yep.
Yep. That may be something a certain burly man has been doing.
Has done.
Yes, has done. Right, burly.
Well, that was the thing. Like the Series X, nothing wrong against it. It's just like most of those games I am not going to buy. And it's like 99% of all the games that I'm going to want to play on there are all Game Pass. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, I got a stupid good deal. Like I literally, when I bought it, it came with 3 months free of Game Pass. And then for $10 more, get another 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate. So for the Series S, it was like, okay, 6 months for $10 more than the base price of Series S. Do I have to think about this very long? Yeah. No. And it's just great. I can try games on Game Pass. Yeah. I'm not spending $90 on a pop every game. So it's like nice to just go try stuff. Oh, I don't like this. Or I play this for a couple hours. I got my money's worth for Game Pass that month.
Yeah. Burly, I'll throw this out there. Are you going to live stream Halo Infinite day one?
That I've been debating. I'm not going to lie to you, but like I thought of going through all the other Halo's like campaigns on stream.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I'd want to do those co-op and have people. But once Infinite comes, it's like,
it's just going to be the single player campaign at
first. And it's like, it's, so, like, I don't know. I may just hold off. I will eventually stream Halo Infinite stuff. Like, the multiplayer, I've got to go back and play and get a little bit better used to it. But I have a feeling next year I'll do it once co-op campaign comes. Because I'm going to just want to marathon them all and give co-op campaign with friends and chat.
Okay. All right. Last one I'll throw out there for you guys. How much longer are physical copies of games going to sell? 5 more years? 10 more years? What do you think?
That's tough. You look at PC and how that went, and physical for PC is almost non-existent. I mean, if you go to Target, there'll be like a handful of PC games, and it's like Sims 4, and I don't know what else. you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
Sims 4, I think some game from 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And some generic World of Warcraft. Crap. Yeah, World of Warcraft, Diablo 3, and some generic license game thing they're trying to put out to try to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say with console, but console people definitely seem to care more about physical.
I
think the console makers don't want it to go away because they know there's a market there, right? And they want to keep those, probably, I imagine, want to keep those markets happy and healthy.
Yeah.
It means something. It's nice to see, like, somebody, I have this big collection. Like, you can physically show people.
Yeah,
you know, when it goes all digital, it's like, look at my Steam library screenshot. You know, like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
I know we didn't get into the other question you had, which like, what do I prefer, digital versus physical?
Yeah,
I wanted to touch on that. I mean, obviously, like, I love physical, but that's because that's what I grew up with, and there wasn't the option.
Yeah,
and but even with like PC, you know, I am not a PC guy, so like. I used to love the big, but back in the day, I used to love the big box PC games. They're huge ass like boxes, right?
Oh yeah,
they're cool. There's so much in them a lot of times, and they're just great art and things like that.
Yeah, and the game manuals and everything. Yeah,
this cabinet right here is full of all of my old like PS1, you know, SNES, you know, Genesis, N6, everything's in there. You know, all my old Sega Saturn. I like to keep that, but as time's gone, less and less do I care about physical. It's where I have sold off a lot of my 360 games. They don't mean as much to me as anymore. My PS4 library of physical is basically down to just like Horizon Zero Dawn, just because I paid so little for it, and I don't think I was going to get much for trading that in.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm starting to like just trade those games immediately. Like you know, Last of Us Part 2. I beat it, and that was a great game. Awesome. I loved it, but traded it in, got like $35 back for it or something, or sold it. I don't remember how I did. And like, that's basically, I only paid like $25 for that game, you know?
Yeah.
So, going forward. Yeah. Like I just bought a physical game. Right.
Yep.
And I kind of want to continue to do that, but it's like Game Pass changes that for me because I've seen now the advantage so much more of what digital gives you. The idea that like I don't have to put a disc in, as small as that may seem, is like when you're swapping between games.
Yeah.
If you're trying to swap between two physical games, well, I mean, you've killed quick resume, of course, right there. Like, there's no point to that feature if you're doing that. And it's just the convenience, you know, if you have multiple systems or if you're doing cloud, like I can't play Guardians on the cloud. I don't even know if it's an option. Maybe it probably is. I'd assume, right? No, it's not on Game Pass, so you can't actually play that.
I was gonna say no.
So I can't.
And then with the future of discs, for example, with physical media, just imagine the next Call of Duty. Like 5 years from now, it's gonna need two discs because of the file size.
Yeah.
Oh well, the last one, Cold War, Black Ops Cold War. The campaign, only the first mission is on the disc. You literally, it takes you, when you hit campaign, it says to download, and takes you to PlayStation Store or Xbox Live Store for you to download the missions.
Yeah.
So I do wonder what, like, the future of the cloud stuff is. Will you be able to play any game that exists, right, in the library via cloud, like, if you own it?
Yeah.
You digitally, you think yes, but physically probably no. There's no how would they know? How would they let you do that? Unless it can like check your system back home, you know, if the disc's in there, which I doubt they'll do.
Yeah.
So Burley, what about you? What's your preference?
For a while I went digital because of not just because of spacing, but like here in Canada, up till this year, early this year, you could on PSN. You didn't pay tax. So if the game was $79, it was $79 digitally instead of me going to the store and paying $90. So it was like, I'm saving 11 something dollars here. What do I do? But then thanks to our shitty government for calling an election during COVID and wasted $600 million because he didn't get what he wanted. he decided, let's find other areas to tax people and get more money. And so that ended. But this year has been really making me love physical, because there are old games that I had physically. Never gonna play again. And it's like, I had my experience, but I'm never gonna play again. But like our GameStop has had promotion games. Like, you trade three games that are worth $10 each, and you get a brand new game. And I did that to pay for like Bravely Default 2 and some other games that it was just like, oh, okay. Instead of me forking out the money, I get a new game, get rid of some of my old stuff, get some new stuff I want.
Cool. So.
I've been liking that with physical, and with some of the stuff they include, like with Guardians, I got all those bells and whistles and stuff, the collectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how much longer, Burley, do you think physical copies of games will be sold? How much longer?
Probably about 10 to 15 years. They're going to fight this out as long as I can. I think it'll be 10 to 15 years, and they're going to fight. Like, Microsoft is basically, we don't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're still allowing those digital codes like Nintendo, where you can go to GameStop or any of the stores and buy the code.
Mm-hmm.
Sony stopped doing that. Sony used to let you do that, but they just stopped it for whatever reason. Yeah. So,
and we haven't really discussed this, but you know, where is Nintendo in all of this equation?
I was just thinking about that. I actually think Nintendo makes a lot of sense to own physical, because by default the Switch doesn't have a lot of storage space.
Yeah,
right. So that's something you got to upgrade, and the cartridges are like teeny tiny little things.
Right, right.
So like I have my Switch in a case. And the case has slots for, like, I don't know, 6 to 8 cartridges in there. It's like, it's not a big deal for me to carry around a ton of games and to swap them out easily.
Yeah.
So for Switch, like, I will never buy digital. Like, I see no reason to ever buy a game digitally on Switch.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, I bought, you know, DLC for, you know, Fire Emblem Three Houses. That was it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
for Switch, Switch is one of the ones where I actually like buying digital, because Nintendo does give you something. Like, when you buy games brand new digitally off there, you get money back. They're gold coins that you can use on their eShop. Because I've done that so many times. Because, like, I bought Pokemon digital, so I got $4 in coins back. And it's like, okay, then I've used them and bought smaller games or other games that I've used it towards bigger purchases. And you can use those coins that you earn to pay your Nintendo Online membership.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's a cool program. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and move on to our new game releases for the week of November 29th through December 5th. And I'm going to give you my pick of the week. So this is from releases.com, which every week we go through the games for the week that are going to be released on releases.com. And we give our pick of the week. My pick of the week is coming out on December 2nd. It's called Solar Ash. Yeah. So it's a PlayStation game for PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. So it comes out on the 2nd. So let me go ahead and read the synopsis for you here. So in Solar Ash, the player journeys through the ultra void, a ravenous rift in space swallowing worlds. It's a place of incredible danger and surreal spaces, a dream none can escape, familiar through alien, lush, but grotesque, peaceful at times, and supremely violent in others. Our characters must find solace in each other to make it through the spiral of despair they find themselves trapped in. Players will blast through high-speed traversal challenges with wild gravity and beautiful vistas while slaying massive monsters and meeting other lost souls. Beware the remnants that loom and bristle with hunger. So yeah, action adventure. I'm really looking forward to this one. It comes out on the 2nd for PS4 and PS5. Solar Ash. So, Carl, what's your pick of the week?
I'm going to go with Chorus.
Okay.
Which is on December 3rd.
Okay.
And that is on PC, PlayStation, Xbox.
Okay.
It says, take control of Nara on a quest to destroy the dark cult that created her. Unlock devastating weapons and mind-bending abilities in an evolution of the space combat shooter. Along with Forsaken, her sentient starfighter, explore ancient temples, engage in zero-G combat, and venture beyond waking reality.
Cool.
This was one that they showed at that Xbox, like, third party, you know, like, I get they were sort of like double A indies event. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it has a really interesting aesthetic to it, style, like this kind of creepy-ish space you know, look to it. And there's more emphasis on a story than I've ever really saw in these type of space combat shooters. And, you know, I can appreciate those games. I have liked them in the past. So like, it's one that looks interesting. And if it reviews well, I wouldn't mind. Yeah. Checking that one out.
Cool. All right. Burley, what's your pick?
My pick is Asterix and Obelix. Slap them all.
Okay.
Coming Thursday, December 2nd. Okay. Asterix and Obelix are back in an adventure full of slaps. Play as Asterix and Obelix and enjoy the most iconic landscapes of the saga with battling hundreds of enemies in a beat 'em up game filled with action and lots of slaps. It's coming to PC, PS4, and Nintendo Switch.
All right. Okay.
What else is interesting here? Oddworld Soulstorm is coming to... Oh, Enhanced Edition. Was this on Xbox yet at this point? I don't remember. I know that it was on like PlayStation.
Yeah, no, it's on PS4.
It came PS4, ahead, PS5, and I think PC. Like the month it came out, PlayStation Plus subscribers got it free because that's how I played that game. And
right.
Okay.
Anyone that wants to play it, good luck to you. You have to have a lot of patience. I made it quite far in the game, but I got to a point where like you cannot make any kind of mistake. And it's like, I'm just tired. Don't want to keep playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I played some of it on PS5. It was, a little frustrating, especially, you know, some of the levels and the jumping and things like that. So. Okay. So next up. Yeah, Carl, what were you going to say?
No, that was it. I didn't have anything.
Okay. 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 Next up is the PlayStation Plus games for December. So Burley, take it away. What are we getting in December, man, for PlayStation?
In December, for us PS5 subscribers, we get Godfall. Mm-hmm. If you remember that, it was done by the guys that did Borderlands and all that. It was originally supposed to be just PS5, and then they earlier this year released it to PS4. So you're getting Godfall.
Right.
You're getting another game we talked about earlier, Mortal Shell for PS4, which is a Soulsborne game. I've been interested to try it. I've seen other people play it.
So. Mm-hmm.
And then the last game, Lego DC Supervillains. So you're playing as Batman and the rest of Batman's villains and all the other DC villains.
Right. So Godfall is the Challenger edition. So it's like a different edition that's coming out now. So it's interesting. Yeah. Appears to be a new edition of the game, I think, right? Yeah. Something like that.
I think so. But the thing is that game has had like 7 different editions. It's basically they want people to go back into the game and play it. Like my buddy Soul had picked it up like literally a week ago and got it really, really cheap. And he's like, it's not bad for what it is, but it's like one of these things. Yeah, I'll download it and try it for an hour, but I can't expect more than 5 hours I put into this game.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll download it and try it and, play it because it's, you know, on PS Plus. So, All right, and Carl, so the Xbox free games with gold for December 2021. What are we getting, man?
Gold. All right. I'm going to read from the Xbox thing because they got them all nice and neatly in one paragraph here. So you have on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S, join your friends and plot ingenious prison breaks in The Escapist 2. And run your island nation as you see fit in Tropico 5, penultimate edition. And for a classic lineup via backwards compatibility, take out an orc army in Orcs Must Die and battle bizarre creatures in the 2D platformer Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
All right.
Have you guys played any of these games? I mean, I've played a little bit of Tropico before. Yeah, Escapist, I'm looking forward to.
Tropico, because I think it also came to PS Plus 1 year. It may have been 4, it may have been 5. I cannot remember. And I tried it for like an hour. Like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of those like SimCity type games, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess more like what's the other franchise? Civilization, right?
Yeah. Civilization, like Civ 6 is the latest one, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to try any of these, but, you know, it is.
Yeah.
Not a strong month, I'd say. But, you know, some stuff there to check out.
Yeah, some stuff. And the Game Pass games for the rest of this month. There's one game in November and one game in the beginning of December, Carl. So what are they?
Yeah, Evil Genius 2. That's on November 30th.
Yep.
It's a satirical spy-fi lair builder where players take control of an evil genius and set their plans for world domination in motion. And then you have this Warhammer 40K Battle Sector, which is coming to Game Pass on December 2nd. And that game is launching into Game Pass on console. And I don't have a description of this game, so sorry for that one. But it is a, if you know what Warhammer is, and it looks like it's a Warhammer RTS. Pretty easy to understand what that is.
Is this just a game of me getting the figurines and spending 4 hours painting them?
Probably not. No, but maybe that should be a game, right? There should be like figurine painting simulator.
Oh yeah. Make it a $20 simulator game. Sure.
Right.
Some people will buy it.
All right. So now I want to tell all of your listeners and all of you viewers out there about our other our show content that we're doing. Our next episode of the Marvelous Marvel Discussion Arena is going to be coming out early next week. And we're going to be discussing the Hawkeye series on Disney Plus. So episodes 1 and 2. So stay tuned for that. And of course, we're going to be having some other shows coming on down the pipeline pretty soon. And if you become a Patreon at patreon.com/thearena_podcast, we have some merch now available for you patrons. So please go check out our Patreon. And if you become a patron, you can either get stickers or a coffee mug, for example. So check out the tiers, and we hope to catch you on Patreon as well. So now I want to let all of you know. What's that?
X-Pack, if you don't mind, I'd like to correct myself. Warhammer 40K Battle Sector, I do have a description here, and I was wrong about something. It says, is a fast-paced turn-based strategy game set in the Grimdark universe of the 41st millennium. Pick your force, develop your army, field mighty heroes, and fight for victory using superior strategy, awesome abilities, and devastating weaponry. And actually, when I look at it, the screenshots, I feel like maybe this is more akin to actually playing the board game in its way, that it would be played turn based with your, you know, the units look like they're grouped together as they are.
Cool.
And that looks cool. Maybe I should check that one out. That'll be on Game Pass.
Yep. Cool. All right. So now it's time to let everybody know where you can find us on social media. You can find me on Twitter at @expat_gamer. And my Linktree, which, of course, there's a Discord invite, as well as all the other links to my social media at Linktree. That's linktr.ee/expat2020. So that does it for me. Burley, where can people find you on social media, man?
You can find me on Twitter @BurleyManGaming. I'm also a Twitch affiliate. You can find me on twitch.tv/BurleyManGaming.
Okay, and Carl, where can people find you on social media, man?
Oh, just find me on Twitter, @TurnBasedCarl.
All right, cool. All right, so to end the episode, this week's spotlight for our indie recording artist is on Lux Inspira. Lux Inspira is a music production company based in Indonesia, founded by Ilham Awaludin. So the company has produced video-oriented music in various genres, from classical to modern orchestral music to electronic dance music for commercial purposes. From the album titled Elevation, and the song is called Encourage. So this has been The Arena, a multi-platform gaming news podcast, episode 64. I've been your host, Expat, along with my co-hosts, Burley of Burleyman Gaming on Twitch, and Turnbase Carl. So for all of you listeners and viewers, we hope to catch you in the next one. So take care, everyone. Peace out.